This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad to be with us, SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. I think there is nobody under more pressure to draft and draft correctly with his pick in the first round than John Elway of the Denver Broncos. He has got so many different options to go with that 10 pick. But he better nail it, because the team he's got is looking at a division that's getting tougher and tougher. Kansas City may be going through a defensive change, but Steve Spagnuolo is the right guy to do it. The Chargers still have Phillip Rivers and a team that won 12 games last season. The Raiders have got a number of picks and got Antonio Brown finally. And look, could be more of a factor, could be better than last year and put up a fight. The Broncos have got a zillion changes on their plate to try to avoid three straight losing seasons. They've got a new head coach in Vic Fangio, a brand new offensive coordinator who's never called plays before. Joe Flacco, who I don't think was met with a lot of woo amongst people who thought this deal was going to change the fortunes of their franchise. They still have Bradley Chubb. They still have Von Miller. They still have a defense that's formidable, but they have to make this pick correctly. Elway is always going to be John Elway, the football player, always. But you don't want the second part of that statement to be, yeah, and then he drove the Broncos nuts, and then, you know, gave us a Super Bowl, and then we disappeared. He's got a chance to turn things around, not as from a Super Bowl contender, but just to be competitive, just to fight for a playoff berth. But he's got to nail this pick correctly. Whether or not you want to go quarterback and have a guy that's not going to contribute whatsoever, or you're going to take a tight end with that pick too high, there are just warning signs about where Denver could go with that pick. You look at where Arizona is right now, it looks like they are going to go with Kyler Murray, and that's the right pick for them if they feel like Josh Rosen is not going to be the quarterback under a Cliff Kingsbury system. And if your coach has the quarterback that matches, that's where you go. In Denver, there's no such answer. There's no point where you go, that will work, that is need. They have needs across the board. Anything will work, but you've got to make sure you land it and land it correctly. Man, it has got to be tough to know that just a part of your legacy is at stake. Something that you've built so tremendously is at stake with this draft pick.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Oh, glad you could join us, SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio. Hey, Blue Emu, no chill, no burn, no odor. It's the number one selling emu oil brand in America. I use it, you should too, made in America. Unlike competitors, they don't use capsaicin, which is in chili peppers. Our menthol, which is the ingredient responsible for cooling sensation. You want good muscle relief? Go to Blue Emu. Get it today. Sold all over the country in all sorts of retailers. Number one emu oil brand in America. No chill, no burn, no odor. Blue Emu. All right, so what does this draft, is there something about this draft that stands out in terms of quality? Or is this just some teams, you know, there's some players here that are going to be superstars, but the talent, overall talent level is down?
I mean, it almost feels kind of like a drop-off from last year.
It doesn't feel as popping as last year.
Last year, I mean, because we had, you know, we had, what, five quarterbacks go in the first round?
Yep.
You know, possibly could have had six or seven because it was such a heavy quarterback class. Then you throw in a guy like Saquon Barkley, who is a franchise changer. You know, it just felt like there was a lot more pomp and circumstance, if you will, around last year's NFL draft. Where this year, yeah, I mean, even leading into it, we know of two players who are definitely going to go in the first round, but you know, the other ones, or we know where the two players are going to go, but the other ones we're kind of unsure of.
It is interesting with the quarterbacks because, you know, Kyler Murray is likely to go number one, but you look at the next wave, right? Dwayne Haskins, right, and Drew Locke. I have heard both sides, right? Dwayne Haskins has got these tremendous skill, but 1 year at Ohio State. Drew Locke played at Missouri. Boy, if he had played at Alabama or he played at Oklahoma in a more pass-heavy offense, you'd know more about him. But has problems with footwork. They don't scream to me, go get them kind of quarterbacks.
No,
right?
In fact,
don't scream like move up and get these guys.
With Haskins, there's been rumors circulating off and on about him dropping to the second,
dropping
maybe
down.
Even third round.
It's boy, that would be surprising.
Yeah. You know, are we destined to have another Aaron Rodgers situation?
And Daniel Jones at Duke has been skyrocketing up the charts.
Of course he is.
With number one with a bullet. He has really moved up the ladders. They like that David Cutcliffe connection at Duke because he's a good quarterback guy. Worked with Peyton Manning at Tennessee.
Quarterback guru. Quarterback whisperer, we should
say. That's right. I think he worked with Eli too, but I'm not 100% sure about
you think, that. You think they just hear like, you know, oh, we need a recruit out of Duke?
Out of Duke, yeah. we need to make that land. I mean, I've heard the offensive tackles and the offensive linemen are pretty good, but not super awesome. You know, it's just, I don't know. Everyone's got an opinion. I get that. But it doesn't feel like it's a draft that pops. Although, you know, look, Nick Bosa is a fantastic player. I think he's going to make a team a lot better, whoever gets him. And I like Ed Oliver. I think Ed Oliver is going to be a really good player wherever he goes. I've seen him being pegged anywhere from 3 to 12. You know, he could land anywhere there. I think to me, the draft to me isn't so much the players that are drafted. To me, it is what actually occurs with the teams and what they are doing and what does that say in terms of what they're doing, right? For example, if the Raiders trade out, what does that say about what Oakland thinks about its team and about building and gaining assets? Do the Giants, for example, take a quarterback? It's something we've been talking about. Do they make that pick at 6 where they signal to Eli Manning the end is near, right? The end is coming at some point this year. We're drafting a guy at 6 that the city is going to know is our franchise guy, and that means you're on the clock to play well or be benched, and that's how you're going to end your career. As I mentioned earlier, the Broncos. I have been advocating the Broncos take a defensive player that can impact now rather than a quarterback that is down the road for their future. Get the quarterback another time. Impact your defense today. Okay? Do that. But if they go quarterback, what does that say about where, you know, what Elway thinks? And would people even in Denver trust Elway with the quarterback? Because outside of Peyton Manning, which anybody else would have landed, he hasn't been able to be successful at picking a quarterback to be the successor down the road. I mean, that to me is a couple of things that I'm just looking forward to, at least in the first 10. Where are teams thinking about where the team is going into this draft and who goes and who gets, you know, who could play? And of course, I'm looking at the Steelers. I saw one mock draft where the Steelers were going to land Devin Bush of Michigan at 20. And I thought if Devin Bush falls all the way down to the Steelers at 20, I will be thinking I'm living in a parallel universe, and I will never trust analysis again. I saw people picking Devin Bush in the top 10.
Then you know what'll happen.
Right?
It'll happen, because, I mean, that's what this draft feels like, is the absurd will happen.
Yeah, great. The crazy, right?
The crazy things are going to happen this draft. Just, I mean, because there's no clear-cut order of things, and I think that's what part of the issue is. Last year, we had a clear-cut order of things. We knew who was going to go where. We kind of had an idea. This person was going to go here. This person was going to go there. You know, I guess the biggest surprise came with the first pick overall. Everyone thought it was going to be Sam Darnold. Browns went Baker Mayfield. You know, we'll still see. Yeah, jury's still out whether or not that was a great pick or not. But I think that was the only curveball, really, to the entire night. This year, you know, I mean, any team could pick anybody, and you're going to be like, okay, yeah, all right, I can see that.
I don't know if
there's a shocker coming.
I want to know, over-under is a bad term because if it happens, it'll happen once. But I'm wondering what the odds are of a team failing to get their pick in on time.
Ooh.
On Thursday night. We've seen it happen a couple of times.
I don't think anything will happen.
It's very rare.
I don't think it'll happen on Thursday.
Yeah. God, I hope so. That'll be great. I love it when it happened one or twice.
But if it is... If it is to happen, it'll be the Raiders.
Yeah, the Raiders.
Because they sent everyone home.
Somebody was supposed to tell us were picking.
They inadvertently sent the guy who submits pick in home. And neither Mayock or Gruden knew that. We don't just announce it to each other?
Do the Patriots trade to move up from 32 up in the draft at some point?
Hell no.
Doubt it.
Not at all.
I don't think they do at all.
Belichick, he doesn't. That's not his MO. He doesn't care. I mean, if anything, he would get rid of his pick.
He'd get rid of his pick for players, right? Yeah. That's what he does. Let's see. I'm trying to think of some other things that could happen Thursday night. Does Roger Goodell get booed every single time he steps on the
yes.
plane?
Yes. That's
every
given.
Time. All 32 picks does Those he get are, booed if, every time.
If it's possible, that would be getting 1-to-1 odds.
Yeah, that's 1-to-1 odds.
Vegas would not put that bet out there because there's no chance of them making any money.
Will the Jacksonville Jaguars, whoever's picking for the Jags, will they make a sly remark to Titans fans and thus build up one of the greatest, newest rivalries in all of sports?
They have to, right?
I'm trying to think of a rival for Tennessee, and I can't come up with
one. Well, I mean, okay, it's this would
Jacksonville, because they used to play those terrible Thursday night games.
But this would be the moment for either Texans, Jaguars, or Colts to try to build something.
By the way, do we have a list on who's picking, or don't they do that later? They don't do that round one, do they?
No, round one will just be Goodell
coming
out. They
do it in round two.
Yeah, round one is Goodell's day to shine.
That's a later round thing. So maybe later sometime this weekend.
Yeah, it'll be all Goodell coming out. Get the photo ops with all the number one picks, holding up a number one jersey, player wearing the hat, player actually excited to be next to Goodell.
Yep.
Only to learn, you know, 6 months later, I shouldn't have put my arm around him. I shouldn't have been so happy.
I shouldn't have been so happy. Exactly right.
He's the devil.
What about, I'm trying to trying to think of something. I'm trying to think of fun superlatives for the draft on Thursday. Goodell Butcher. I'm trying to think of somebody's name that's on the board. Now, all the names seem pretty basic. I don't think he could butcher anybody's name.
Nah, but he's usually pretty good about that.
He is very good at that. Stern used to butcher a lot of names.
Yeah, well, Stern used to just,
back in the day.
He used to just butcher English language.
Yeah, but Goodell is pretty smart. Like, Goodell wouldn't go out unprepared. You know what I mean? Like, Stern got a little sloppy sometimes, where you could like, hey, David, can you come to this conference room and we're going to go over the pronunciations of some of these European names? Are there probably some names you're going to say the night of the NBA draft? Could you just come down? We'll go over them. We'll make sure you have them. I'll be down there in just a minute. I got to be on the phone for a second. I'm talking to the Knicks. I'll be down there in a minute. And he never shows up. And then he's like, with the 13th pick in the NBA draft, the Philadelphia 76ers take. Throw it away and walk off.
Can't remember who he was referred to. I want to say it was the Spurs when he referred to them as the Western Conference champions.
Yeah, exactly. Goodell seems so polished. And like every T is crossed and I is dotted, that he would never allow that to happen.
And unfairly, he has to be that way.
Oh,
because,
no kidding.
Because we're NFL fan, and you know, especially the players, just look for any type of reason to butcher him.
Absolutely. They do. No, there's no doubt. Absolutely. And the whole thing is, he is so, because his background is in law, he knows that he has to say things with the same kind of tone, whether he's talking about how excited he is to be possibly putting a game in China or suspending a guy for domestic violence. He does this in this same kind of tone, right? I never see him angry, and I never see him overly elated. He just stays the same. Now, Stern, do you remember when Donald Sterling, that whole ordeal with Donald Sterling, and then and also Tim Donaghy? These were the two times I saw David Stern very, very angry at the podium back in the day. Now, Adam Silver, I don't think, has gotten angry. Now, Adam Silver was Donald Sterling, so I apologize for that. But Tim Donaghy was David Stern, and I remember he got really angry. Adam Silver has gotten angry, like, with Donald Sterling, but not like Goodell just goes, hey, look, this is the deal. This is how we do things. This is what we're going to do going forward. Very, 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 very straightforward. And I think that turns a lot of people off, because I don't think he shows a lot of kind of emotion in the right time that you need him to. And that seems to be why it drives people crazy. Like, you could see people trying to get him at these some press conferences to try to get him caught, to have him make a mistake or say the wrong. He doesn't do that. He does not do that. He's very polished. He's very straight through. 800-777-2907. Also at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. As we roll along, continuing on the NFL draft because it's draft week, but coming up the NBA playoffs. And what a boring first round, is it? Next on SB Nation AM.
This is Mike Hurst from Let's Talk Wheels. We're brought to you by our friends at Jeep. Today I have a tip to save you some grief this summer. Summer is on the way, folks, and when it's 100 degrees and you've been stuck in traffic for an hour with three crazy kids, a wife shouting directions, and a barking dog, a working AC is just about the only thing keeping you from getting out of your SUV and jumping off a bridge. So I'm reminding you right now to get your SUV or truck in the shop and have the cooling and AC systems checked right before summer gets here. First, the shop's going to check the cooling system and make sure that the engine won't overheat and stall in traffic. There aren't many things that damage an engine more than overheating. Now, after they're sure your engine isn't going to overheat, they're going to check the AC system. The shop is going to check the AC clutch, the belt, the cabin filter, condenser, compressor, and the refrigerant level. There isn't much else to look at, and none of this is really expensive to do. And if you don't do this, well, you might buy some earplugs and some deodorant. This is Mike Hersey from Let's Talk Wheels. We're brought to you by our friends at Jeep. For more tips, go to letstalkwheels.com. That's letstalkwheels.com.
Jeep vehicles are world famous for giving you all kinds of freedom. The freedom of going anywhere, anytime in the legendary Jeep Wrangler. Motor Trend's 2019 SUV of the year. The freedom to travel in luxurious comfort with Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever. The freedom of taking in more fresh air in Jeep Compass with its available panoramic dual-pane sunroof. Or the freedom to push your adventures to new lengths with Jeep Cherokee's fuel-efficient 31 MPG highway. So hurry and visit Jeep.com today for legendary deals during the Jeep Freedom Days sales event. Jeep Grand Cherokee has received more awards over its lifetime than any other SUV. Available feature, EPA estimated 4-cylinder, 4x2. Actual mileage may vary. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, don't take a chance on being stranded. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and get your battery tested. It's free of charge, one of the many services available. And if your battery needs to be replaced, professional parts people will help you find the exact battery for your car or truck. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Boy, these NBA playoffs first rounds, not as fun. Nuggets and Spurs. You know what? I'm ripping the Nuggets, but God bless them. They finally got that win in San Antonio for the first time in 7 years and evened up their series. If it wasn't for them, this first round would be a dud of a playoff series. I mean, just a dud. And again, I'm not expecting the Clippers to take the Warriors to seven games, but none of these series outside of the Spurs Nuggets is compelling at all. And I thought Oklahoma City could give us one, and I don't know what's going on, but they cannot beat these Portland Trailblazers. They beat them in game three, thought they'd even, nah, Portland said, nah, we know what's wrong. We'll fix it in game four, and they did. Russell Westbrook, 5 of 21. Just keep shooting, Russ. Yeah, keep shooting.
Portland's another one of those teams like the Denver Nuggets. I don't know anyone really on the Portland team.
Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, and that's about it.
That's it.
And Nurkic chews out.
Yeah. This is a team I'm watching them play, and I'm like, you know what? They could actually give the Warriors or Rockets a run for the money the way they're playing right now.
Now, that being said, can you take this nugget of information away from the boring postseason? That, boy, when the Rockets meet the Warriors, it's going to be good.
Well, yeah. Right? It's just upsetting that
because
it's the
both
next
of them
round.
Are playing well. Right now, that's true. But because the Rockets are playing great. I mean, James Harden was stone cold the other night.
Yeah,
was he 0 for 15 to start the game?
Yeah, he was a little. He had a brutal beginning.
22 points to lead the team in scoring. Utah, that is your chance. That is your opening to get back in a series. Is take advantage of James Harden going 0 for 15 to start the game.
It didn't matter.
It didn't matter. The Rockets are playing good. The Warriors are now playing, despite giving up 31 points in this in game two, that's they're playing like that never happened.
Yeah, but the media, man, does the media want to create something that's really not there yet? I mean, the whole conversation with Warriors Clippers is all about, you know, Durant's leaving. Of course he's leaving.
No, all the time.
You know, where is he going to go? He's going to New York. He's going here. He's not going to be a Warrior next year. This is their swan song. I mean, there was a video on that was circulating Twitter, and it was Draymond. If you, picture this, it was Draymond, Clay, and Sean Livingston in the top row, and then Durant and Curry in the bottom row. And I don't know who was asking the question, but he asked the question of, you know, this obviously can't stay together forever. You know, obviously, you know, at some point, this Warriors team, this dynasty will dry out or, you know, something along those lines. And it had most of the guys laughing except for Clay and Durant.
Jeez.
And we were just looking, you know, it's like, can you imagine ever playing for another team? And everyone's just kind of laughing. And Draymond takes over and is like, nah, man, I'm going to stay here for as long as I possibly can, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and they're all laughing. But you look at Durant's face, and Durant, you know, and they're trying to make it out. It's like from a while back. It wasn't even recent, but they're trying to make it look like, ah, Durant's on his way out. Look at this. He's gone.
I have a question about Durant. Why is Durant miserable? Why does, you know, he plays good basketball, played really good, but why does he feel like every time I see him, he's miserable?
Well, has he ever been happy?
He does never looks happy.
Like, even when he was with the Thunder, he never looked happy.
He's just got that. This is when you start realizing that these guys, these athletes, sometimes have personality traits, just like every one of us. We all have that someone in our life, right, that just is miserable all the time, right? I'm sure we probably have 5 or 6 people in our lives that are like this. No matter what they have, no matter what's going on, they always go, oh, but, you know, hey, I see you got that promotion. That's great. Yeah, but it's a lot more stress. Hey, I see you started with that new company. It's a longer commute. I mean, just that's what I feel like with Kevin Durant. And I get it. The media is not always going to be on your side when you're a pro athlete. Not everything you do is going to be, you know, we have a tendency to tear you down. And I know it's the worst part of what we do. But if you can still be happy above that, if you put so much emphasis on what the media is writing and what people are saying, you're probably going to be miserable no matter where what field you're in, no matter what you're doing.
No, he seems but he's put out
all the time.
Like, you know, being an NBA superstar is the worst thing to be on the planet. He's like, oh, you know, man, it'd been much easier just to be a janitor in a high school.
That's
living the life right there. Just being a janitor in a high school, that would make me happiest. Instead, I got to be this NBA superstar making gobs of money, can go anywhere, do anything. But it's such a pain.
Just down. Oh, boy.
You know, it's Eeyore.
It is. It's Eeyore. I never see him. And again, I know he does. I never see him playing with.
You never see him smile.
Kids or smiling.
Where does he ever smile?
I never see him having a good time.
And I get you need to have intensity on the court. You know, you got to put that game face on. I get it, but I mean, you don't very rarely do you see him smile when they're in the locker room after they just blew out somebody. You know, they won big and they won the championship. I honestly don't remember if he smiled holding up the trophy.
Yeah, exactly.
I have to actually go and Google it.
I mean, contrast that with like Steph Curry. Just seems to be having fun constantly. I mean, all the time. Even when he's not, he seems to be having fun.
But yeah, even when he's saying I'm a bad boy, and then, you know, his team coughs up a 31 point lead.
Right. Yeah. You know, exactly.
He seemed to be having fun up until that point.
Up until that point. Exactly. But it's just that Rocket. Back to that Rockets Jazz game. Phenomenal for the Rockets to go, hey, you know what? The guy that's carried us all the way can't hit a shot, and yet we'll keep us in this game until he does. 0-15, and they still win. He finished with 22. I think he still led the team in scoring, if I'm not mistaken. It's awesome. Way to go, Harden. What an MVP year it's been. SB Nation Radio.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio.
time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it's the good, the bad, the dumb. With you being out on Friday, we missed this very popular segment, but we bring it back with Ron returning to the airwaves. What is the good for this
bad.
Monday?
The good, I guess, is that I've returned.
Yes. Well, no, it was. I missed it. I was.
The bad was that I was not here, and the dumb was as I probably should have taped one in advance.
Well, no, but I mean, I went without it, but I missed it, and I'm glad you're back. So.
That's right. Well, the good of the day. And, you know, this is one of the reasons why I like him. And this is one of the reasons why you like him. Mm-hmm. Because he, when it all comes down to it, he's just a man like you and I.
Right.
Tiger Woods was spotted at a local restaurant down in, I believe, lives like outside Juniper, right?
Yep.
Somewhere around there. Spotted wearing his green jacket and basketball shorts.
Oh, that's awesome.
Out to dinner, and a fan was able to get a pic with him.
That is fantastic. I'd wear that thing every day.
Right?
Every day.
That's how you know. It's like, okay, you know what? Yeah, for all the – I don't care if you are, you know, just a few dollars shy of being a billionaire, but the fact that you'll wear that green jacket out to a local restaurant, not even a high-end restaurant, not even like a Ruth Chris Steakhouse or something like that, just a restaurant. Just getting a bite to eat, and you're just cruising. I mean, wearing basketball shorts, and you're like, oh, I'll put on the jacket.
I'd like to know the rules of Augusta National. I think the champion is allowed to wear it anywhere he wants for a year, and then it's got to return to the club.
So you think he's kind of pushing it then? Just like, yeah, I'll see what happens? Yeah,
I think he gets to do this for a year, and then he returns to the club. But if that's not the case, I'd wear it forever and ever and ever. Like, so... A calendar year, I'd wear it every day. Then I'd wear it after that. And if they asked for it and said, you got to bring it back, you know, it's got to stay here now. You had it for a year. Have fun with it. I'd still be like, nah, I got to take this out.
So, okay. So is Tiger going to treat this like the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, I would. Does he get to let other people wear it?
Ooh. Hmm.
Does the Masters go, no, don't you even think about that. Don't you put that jacket on anybody else.
Oh, man, how awesome would that be if you like ran into Tiger? Like,
he's like, can I wear that?
Can I just try it on real quick?
And he goes, oh, sure. You know, what are they going to do? I'm Tiger Woods, for crying out loud. Try that on. I would love to know what it feels like. Just is it really good fabric, or is it – do you go, oh, it's a little outdated.
I'm going to amend what I said. It wasn't just some random restaurant. He attended his own restaurant,
The Woods. The Woods? Oh, it's called The Woods?
Yeah.
That's all right. That's very, look. I want, you know what? You know what? I'm going to look that up. Florida. I'm going to look that up to see what kind of rating it gets. Ooh, it's got 3 stars out of 5.
Yeah, he wore
only one review.
He wore his green jacket, a dry fit Nike t-shirt, and Oakland Raiders mesh shorts.
That's great.
How fantastic is that? I mean, you're absolutely right. If you're allowed to do that, if that is true, what you're saying, like you're just, you know, the Masters say, yeah, you can wear it anywhere you want for an entire year. I'm abusing that privilege.
Absolutely.
You'll find me walking through a grocery store. Hey, maybe, I don't know, are Piggly Wiggly's big down in Florida? I don't have one here.
I don't know. That's a good question.
I'd be cruising Walmart
in a
green jacket.
I just looked up The Woods. It's good. It's a nice, nicely priced restaurant. You know, $29 for shrimp scampi, chicken piccata is $24. So, you know, a steak prime rib is $47. Prime filet mignon, I should say, is $47. New York strip is $40. It's just one of those kind of places. So, Tiger's got some money. He's got some money. It's a nice little restaurant. Oh, got one review as a 3-star.
Well, okay, this is from the Augusta Chronicle writer, Scott Michaud.
Yeah.
He tweeted out that Tiger is going to be getting a very polite reprimand from the club about proper dress code with the jacket.
Oh, really? This is interesting. Do they?
Well, no. Maybe
does he expand on that?
Maybe you're allowed to wear it, but you're not allowed to wear it with Raider mesh shorts.
That may be true. Okay, so you can wear it, but you better make sure it is accompanied with like pants,
exactly,
like slacks.
Is Tiger going to get in trouble?
Oh, Tiger, can we talk to you for a second? The cream jacket is not supposed to be worn unless you're wearing khakis or any sort of other dress attire.
Tell me that doesn't sound very Augusta National, though.
That's very Augusta National.
Yeah, you need to be, you know, there's a way to wear that jacket, and you're not doing it.
Okay. I guess I can't wear it to bed. Nah, that's well done. All right, what is the bad of the day?
There's a video going around. I'm not really sure what the story behind it is, and it's, you know, I don't really care about the story behind it. But Pitt softball team, the coach is being interviewed during the fourth inning, right? And a bunch of her teammates are behind her, or her team is behind her, not her teammates, but her team is behind her. Bunch of the girls, and one of the girls is holding up a sign that says "Worm." Right.
Okay.
Maybe that's like Carol Burnett tugging on her ear all the time.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, maybe it's just. But then you see another girl who I'm gonna assume is the catcher first. I don't really know, but she has a live worm and she swallows it.
Okay. No. That what? What?
She swallows it on air while the coach is being interviewed. She just goes ahead. She drops the worm in her mouth, swallows it. Opens her mouth, sticks out her tongue to let everyone know that she swallowed it, and then the team just erupts in enjoyment. I don't get it. I don't understand.
I don't want to criticize this too much unless I find out that it, you know, like if I find out they're doing it for some teammate that's got cancer or something, I don't want to feel like a jerk. What is this about?
Swallowing a worm for a teammate with cancer?
See, I don't know what these kids do today. I wish I could get into their mindset. But nevertheless, that's still ridiculous. Don't eat worms. They're nasty. I'm sure they're good with protein and all, but don't eat them. Save it for the fish.
I mean, it's not like cutting your hair for locks of love or... You know,
no.
Wearing a ribbon or anything like there's no, a worm does not signify anything with helping anybody else, except maybe I guess you know if they're the early bird, they get the worm.
And what if it survives the stomach acid and just grows to a beast that just eats the insides of you until you're done? Don't eat worms.
That one kind of threw me for a loop there. I don't understand why that's necessary.
Don't do it. Just don't do it. All right, so the dumb,
and I got to give it up to our man Kanye.
Yeah, what did Kanye do? I saw a little bit of this in the news.
He was trending a little bit on Twitter. Well, he was performing at Coachella, and I guess his set was incredible. It was fantastic. There was weird videoing of him doing it live, so it was like a weird camera angle and all that stuff. I'm not going to touch anything about the performance because either you love the guy or you hate the guy. You know, I don't think there's a middle ground. I don't think there's anyone out there who's like, you know what? Yeah, Kanye's okay.
Right.
You know, but what I am pointing out is for the dumb part is Kanye's apparel that he was selling at the at Coachella.
Okay.
He has it's, you know, Kanye. I mean, like anyone who wants to try to be multifaceted, they try to come out with apparel and stuff like that. He has this line of clothing. It's like called Holy Spirit. I mean, it's for Sunday service at the mountain. Right.
Right.
And it's literally, he has like a gray sweatshirt. It's just with the letters Holy Spirit on one side, Sunday service at the mountain on the other side. And I want you to just venture a guess. Just think of just a regular gray sweatshirt that you'd maybe find like at a college bookstore. How much would you pay for it?
$50.
Yeah, I mean,
at most.
At most, right? No, he has it for $165.
Oh, God, stop.
No, that's just the gray one. He has I don't even know what color this is. I want to say brownish maroon. And that one's going for $225. Then you can get a t-shirt. It looks to be a dry fit t-shirt, so a nice t-shirt. That's $70. But where I really am struggling is he has socks. He has a pair of black socks and a pair of white socks. The black socks say Jesus walks. The white socks say church socks. And they're going for $50.
Oh, see, Conway's just exploiting the spiritualism of people who want to feel closer to God and feel closer to Kanye.
That, and I also can't help but feel that he is you know, he's trying to be manipulating the, you know, all the trust fund babies who get to go to Coachella.
Yeah, of course. That's basically it, right? Right. Exactly. Just like the Fire Festival.
Yeah.
Remember that, right? Where everybody was like, I can't believe I paid $9,000 for a villa and I didn't get it. Those are the kind of people that go to these music festivals.
You know, I mean,
it was
Sunday service at Coachella, so early in the morning, and he has a gigantic tent called Church Clothes.
Man, that's weird. To go to a service, was somebody doing an actual Easter service at Coachella with him there? Was he singing gospel songs? And was like, and while I'm here, don't forget to get your official gospel shirt over there for $160.
Yeah. No, okay. you want the maroonish brown one? Yeah, that's $225.
Exactly.
$225 for a sweatshirt.
Well, gosh.
Oh, you can't afford any of that? We got $50 for a pair of socks.
All right, Kanye. Don't mess around with that stuff. Be good, man. Be good. But yeah, he's basically looking at his clientele and he's like, yeah, these people will spend money on anything.
Yep. They're idiots.
Yeah, let's go sell them a $20 hoodie.
they just turned 18, got the credit card at the, you know, on campus.
Pair of socks.
Time to rack those bills up.
Let's max those cards out, people.
I don't know. I just feel I couldn't do it. I don't even think back then I could, you know, even if I was, you know, as free as I was with my money back when I was 18. I remember I got my first credit card. I was buying everyone dinner. I was so stupid.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know what it was.
Like, oh, no, I'll just put it on my card. You know,
yep.
I'll charge a, you know, $50 meal. I only have to pay $25 a month for it.
Yeah, exactly. That's that. I wish somebody had sat me down and goes, okay, when you get this little thing, this is what exactly happens to you. All right. Because I didn't have any of that.
You don't just pay $25 a month and just keep spending.
No. So true. So true. All right. Good, bad, the dub for Monday on SB Nation Radio.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, glad to be with us. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. On this date in 1987, the NBA granted expansion franchises to Charlotte, Miami, Minneapolis, and Orlando. It's kind of interesting when you look at those four expansion franchises that came on board in the late 80s and early 90s. They all have, maybe except for Minnesota, not so much, I mean, except for, you know, getting Kevin Garnett, you know, but all three of them have some interesting history in their time in the NBA. The Charlotte Hornets, for example, became the New Orleans Pelicans when they moved out of Charlotte to New Orleans in a very weird move by their owner, who was kind of getting a lot of public scrutiny for an affair that he was having. He moves them to New Orleans. The NBA gives another franchise to Charlotte, and they become the Bobcats. You remember those years with the Bobcats, and then later they become the Hornets. Michael Jordan now attached to them, but they become the Hornets, and they bring back a lot of the same color schemes, the same logo, et cetera, et cetera. But the Miami Heat, of course, three NBA championships. It's kind of the centerpiece of one of the most polarizing move and a free agent athlete has ever made. And LeBron James deciding to go to Miami and taking my talents down to South Beach. And what that meant to his image, what that meant to the league in general when they were the creation of these super teams and what the NBA was, you know, becoming. What it had really been, but it never really been that public before, that open before, in terms of players playing with other players to build really good franchises. And then, of course, the Orlando Magic, that time in the 90s where they had back-to-back number one picks, Shaquille O'Neal, Anthony Hardaway, Penny Hardaway. They went to a couple of NBA finals. They went to two. Dwight Howard was the last one in 2009, I believe. But that time when Orlando had back-to-back number one picks, they actually started changing the lottery and how it worked so that that couldn't happen again. Like if you finished in last place, instead of envelopes that gave everybody kind of a free shot at the number one, they weighed the ping pong balls so that if you really did have the worst record in the league, your chances were, you know, better than the team that had the second amount, better than the third, better than the fourth, et cetera, et cetera. So just a little tidbit on those, you know, the four expansion teams. Minnesota hasn't really, you know, never really did anything, even though, you know, with Kevin Garnett. But overall, it's been, you know, those three out of the four have a pretty good place in NBA history, at least in recent years. So, you know, pretty good little date in NBA history. I've always thought the Charlotte situation was really funny. The Bobcats, I think the owner's name was Robert Johnson, if I'm not mistaken. Thus calling them the Bobcats had a little bit of vanity attached to them, which, by the way, I never faulted him for, because that's probably something I would do if I ever owned a team. I hate to think of what I'd be like if I was an actual owner of a team. I don't think I could name it anything around my name, but, you know, I probably would try. Because you own it. It's yours. It's your team. But Bobcats was like basic. And then when you realized, oh, the guy's name is Robert, Bob, et cetera, I get it. But I was very glad that team became the Hornets. I'm very much into nostalgia, and I'm very much into kind of giving people who lose franchises that sense of what they used to have back. I know I talked about this last week with the Browns. I always thought it was great of the NFL to give the city of Cleveland back the Browns, not only the Browns, but the Browns records and the Browns history. In this case, I loved the Hornets. I thought the Hornets were, you know, was Larry Johnson or whatnot. I love the logo. I love the color scheme. I love the look. And I'm glad they actually brought it back to the city of Charlotte. It's SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. More from the draft and our thoughts on this great night for the NFL and great night for the players involved, and which teams have a lot to lose and gain. All coming up next hour, SB Nation AM.